I don't have anything specifically planned, but I wanted to look at a couple of areas. And I want to look at kind of like a topic of the renewing of your mind. You know that God talks about the renewing and transformation of your mind? You guys ever heard that scripture before? Romans 12:2. Who's got the Bible? If you have your Bibles, pull them out. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Where was it? Romans 12, verse 2. If you could sum that up in two words, what would they be? I want to sum up that verse in two words. Do you want me to read it again? It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Two words. Okay, renew mind. Done. So, if we were to think of our minds right now, because he's speaking, he is saying, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." He's speaking to us at a certain point in our walk, of our stage, of our walk with Jesus, isn't he? He's saying, do not take hold of the way the world looks at things. Look at things the way God looks at things. See the difference? So we've got two ways that we can look at the world, that we can look at situations, don't we? And those two ways are, one, yes, okay, earthly and heavenly. Okay, so earthly is man, woman, child, dogs. Okay, I'll put dogs up there just for you. And heavenly is, who said me? Ernesto. Let's put God. So if these are our two kingdoms, should we say? You guys know there's a heavenly kingdom? You guys know there's an earthly kingdom? You guys know that we're asked to die to ourselves, that we may be resurrected in Christ and live in the heaven. Who said heavenly? Heavenly kingdom. When people say die to yourselves and be resurrected with Christ, it means that you're dying in your earthly kingdom. You're dying in your earthly form, your body. But what happens is you're resurrected, you're brought back to life, but you live not out of your bodily flesh desires, but out of your spiritually heavenly Father's will and desires. Did you guys catch that? So let's put that on here. What did I just say? Man, woman, child. So this is like your body and your flesh, right? And what God is asking us to do is to lay down our bodily flesh, but to live fully in the Spirit. And we'll put Jesus' cross. You guys have heard the teaching of Jesus and the cross over and over again, haven't you? Yes. I love your interaction today, guys. Okay, so we're looking at two kingdoms today. And we're looking at the renewing of our minds from an earthly perspective into a heavenly perspective. So let's take an example of something. I've actually been confronted with a few of these over the last few days. I'm going to pick something a bit easier. Actually, let's get two of you up. Ernesto, come here. Daniel, come here. Daniel, come on up, bro. And I'll be the victim. Oh, dear. This is the victim spot, okay? Ernesto bullies me. And Daniel is standing on the sidelines, and he can see everything that's happening. So, day one, Ernesto... bully me. Oh man, that sucks. Oh, I feel so, oh. Okay, then day two he comes along, he just gets even worse and he starts shouting abuse at me and all this kind of stuff. Start shouting, I hate you. Okay, so he hates me. And Daniel's seeing this happen. In your day-to-day lives, I'm sure you guys have seen this or even experienced this. And like, we can choose to stand and be like, what were you thinking whilst that was happening?
Why is he doing this?
Why is he doing this? Okay, you guys can sit down. What I want to get at is that there's a situation happening and we can stand here and let's say we're looking at it from an earthly perspective. What do you think I'll be thinking about that situation? Oh, that sucks, man. Tough break. He'll get through it, whatever. I'm glad it's not me. You guys ever thought that? I totally have sometimes. I've also been the victim of that sometimes too. What I'm trying to get at is if we switch our mindsets and we pray and we ask God, God, please transform my mind to start thinking from a heavenly perspective. So now I'm thinking from a spiritual, heavenly perspective. What do you think I will be thinking about that situation? Just throw some ideas out. I'm not going to say you're right or wrong and stuff like that. Just throw some ideas out. You'll be thinking what God thinks. That's awesome. They have no right to. Because you're standing in a different place than an earthly perspective, you're standing in a heavenly perspective, God can do so much more in that situation for those people and also for you. So what he could do is he could give you, have you guys heard of word of knowledge, words of knowledge and prophetic words, things like that? You were standing in a heavenly perspective and a mindset into that situation, and God gave you a word of knowledge for the bully, which was why he was bullying the boy, and you were able to go up to the bully and say, I feel that God has revealed to me that you suffer with this, or something. It could be anything. It could be absolutely anything. But you were able to step into that situation and say, this is why you're acting like you are. You don't go in and rough them up yourself, because that's not going to help, is it? Did Jesus say, when you get slapped on one side of your face, punch them back? What did he say? Turn the other cheek. What he was doing was he was showing his affection, his love for that situation. Even though he was being wronged, what he was saying was that I still want you to love them back. He says love your enemies, doesn't he? How difficult is that? If someone's picking on you like that situation, and God says, I want you to love your enemies, you're just like, are you kidding? Look at what's happening. But we're looking at the mindset at the moment. So we're looking at, if you're standing in a heavenly perspective and you see into the situation and God can give you words of knowledge into the situation, what do you think will happen when you confront that bully with that word of knowledge? What do you think will happen when you step into that situation with a word of knowledge and a heavenly perspective? A word of knowledge is God speaking to you into a situation. So if there was something happening here and I am living here, which is in the heavenly kingdom and in my spirit and not letting my body and mind, what God is doing is he's giving me insight into a situation. That is all a word of knowledge is, but it's being able to hear what God is saying in that time. Everybody is capable of hearing the voice of God. It may be in different forms, it may be in different ways, such as pictures or dreams. How many of you guys dream? I dream. I had a dream last night. It was a little bit scary, not going to lie. But quite a few of you. And God can speak in so many ways. How did God speak to Joseph? Through dreams? Through visions? What other Bible characters can we think? How did God speak to Moses? A burning bush. Are any of these normal things? A burning bush. I'd love to see a burning bush. I have not seen a burning bush yet. Exactly. A burning bush that doesn't burn up. Okay, so God can give you insight into situations because we choose to stand in his will and ask, Daddy, what's happening here? How can this situation change? How can this situation turn around? And what will happen is when you take that word of knowledge and you step into these places, step into circumstances and speak straight to someone's heart. So a word of knowledge will speak directly to someone's heart, because it's about something that's happening to them and it's causing reaction and stuff and things like that. So if God gave you a word of knowledge for this bully, it was to help the situation, right? It's to step in and to say, man, I just feel that, okay, let's pick a circumstance. Why might someone be bullying someone? The same could happen to them. So a bully might bully someone because they're being bullied. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Okay, that's cool. So we can actually step in, and that's quite a simple one. You can actually see that in day-to-day life. But God may say, he is bullying that person because he is being bullied. What you can actually do is you can go to that person and just say, look, what are you doing? God doesn't want you to do this. God has so much better and so much more for you than for you to take a stance of bullying someone. Like, I know that you're being bullied from here, but what God doesn't want you to do that to someone else because you are being bullied. Now, if we go back all the way through the chains to the first person that's bullying the other person, it may be something like that their parents might be, Okay, that's not a good one. Let's use something else. Let's have trouble in family. If there's trouble in someone's family, it can cause reaction to people in the family. Is that right? So if someone works all the time in your family, you miss them, don't you? Because you're like, oh, where are they? I really want them to be in my life, but they're not in my life at the moment. They seem to be working. So they seem to be choosing work over me. So I'm losing affection. I'm losing interest in people. So I'm going to make my own affection and interest by beating someone up so people notice me. I'm just giving an example, okay? But what will happen is that God may say to you in that place, that person right there is broken. They may look strong. They may look amazingly strong and things like that, but actually, inside there is something happening to them which has just kind of broken their heart. Would you agree? And it's because of that place, in the secret places, that guy's heart is like it is when he's bullying this person. So in a secret place, his heart is broken, isn't it? His heart is longing to be loved. It's longing to have affection from his father, who's out working all the time. And because of that, he's taken the stance of, okay, I'm going to be a man and I'm going to make people notice me by bullying people up, beating people up. And so your word of knowledge will speak directly to that person's heart, won't it? It will speak directly to the brokenness, the depth. Have you ever had anyone say something to you that just went boom and you're like, oh my goodness, I felt like you just stabbed me in the heart? Not in a bad way, but in a way of your words went straight to my heart. Do you guys understand that? Have you ever had that before? So it's not just a surface like, you're cool. Did that go to the heart or was that just surface? I think your electric guitar playing is some of the best electric guitar playing I've ever heard. And I long to play with you again. Now, was that surface or was that more heartfelt? That was more heartfelt. I was speaking directly to him and to his heart because I wanted to encourage him. What happens is when you speak to someone's heart in such a powerful way and in such a way that they may not even realize. So that person who's bullying may not have ever told anyone or even realized himself why he was bullying someone else. But as soon as you said to him, I really want to pray for you because I felt God was saying that because of your father who's abandoned you, and you feel that he's working all the time and you feel that you need to find a place in society because your father has kind of left you brokenhearted and without love, you are now doing what you're doing. How do you think that guy will react to what you say? He think you're a psycho. Confounded? What else, guys? I want the other guys to interact and dig in as well. What do you think? What do you think will happen? What do you think the reaction will be in that guy's heart? Josh? Probably break down and weep. Think you're a stalker. Okay, that's a little bit scary. Psycho and stalker, confounded, and break down and weep. He will be so taken back by the words you said because of the power of the words that you came with. He'll be so taken back because of the power of the words that you came with, because they weren't your words, were they? It was God speaking to you to give those words in that situation. So instead of just standing on the side and with a normal kind of day-to-day mindset of he'll get through it, he'll be all right, we choose to stand on this side, don't we? And we say, God, I know your will is greater. I know your will is far better because you have plans only for me to succeed and for everyone else to succeed in your will as well. And so I want to stand in this viewpoint and ask God what's happening instead of standing on the sidelines on this side, which is I can just walk away and leave you because I don't really care about you. Okay, that's one example. Heavenly and earthly mindset. How many of you guys have read Proverbs before? Raise your hands. How many of you guys have read Proverbs before? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Most of you? Can we turn to Proverbs quickly together? I want us to just quickly look through Proverbs because there's so many verses in Proverbs that talk about us being rich, us being prosperous, us being sons and daughters, us being children of God, and we're just going to look through a couple of those quickly, okay? If you have a favorite one, I'd love you guys to share them as well. I've already found one that I love. This is great. Proverbs is great because it's full of God's promises for each and every one of you, okay? Listen to this. This is Proverbs 3, verse 33. It says, "The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous." I say that again. "The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous." Who is righteous? Who is he talking about right here? Followers of God. Are you guys followers of God? Okay, let's do that again. Are you guys followers of God? Yes. This promise is for you. The promise is for the righteous. A righteous person is someone who's accepted Christ into their life and said, "I want to follow you." This is the house of the righteous. Okay, I'm going to put a question mark around that bit. The house of the righteous is in the heavenly kingdom. He wants you guys to live in a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. That's his inheritance for you guys. As part of his inheritance for you guys, to live out in a heavenly kingdom mindset instead of an earthly kingdom mindset. In the heavenly kingdom mindset, you can look into situations with the eyes of God. With an earthly mindset, you can look into a situation with your own mind. See the difference? With your own mind, you may not be able to actually make an effect on that situation that will be good. With God's eyes, who can see everything, who knows every hair on your head, whose perspective do you think is going to be best? God's. Because you have so much more insight into a situation because you're standing using God's insight instead of your insight. So, heavenly kingdom is the place of the righteous, isn't it? And what do the righteous get? We just did it. We just looked at it. Proverbs, I just used it. What the home of the righteous? Arthur. Blesses. He blesses the home of the righteous. So, blesses. And can I borrow you for a minute? Guys, we're going to do an offering talk halfway through our sermon. Because this is such an incredible testimony of God blessing the righteous. So let's go.
Well, I think you guys heard me share last week a little bit about how I'm going on the Ukraine trip on Wednesday, and the money was not coming through as fast as I would like. I'd spent all of my savings on going to Bethel, but God had really spoken to me clearly about going on this trip, and I just felt like I was supposed to put my faith in God, even though I had $0 in my bank account, and I was able to get over $1,000 for couple weeks ago, and but I still needed over $1,000 last Sunday, and last night I got like a whole bunch of money from friends, but I still had about $400 to go, and I was kind of like, okay, it'll come, you know. I was like, oh man, I really don't want to have to borrow money from my parents and then have to pay it back. That's just really not what I wanted to do. And so this morning I brought all this money, about $500 from friends, and some of it was my own. And David Shunker came up to me a little while ago, and he was like, "Ann, do you know how much money you have left to give?" And I said, "Yeah, I think about $400. And he's like, "No, I just counted, and you're $300 over. So I have $300 left of my own that I can bring on the trip because I paid too much already." How crazy is that? Like, I don't know where it came from. I'm assuming someone gave it for me. But it's like, last night I was starting to kind of, I really was like, "God, I know you're going to provide this money, but I don't know where it's coming from." And I just felt such a peace about going on this trip. And I feel like so many of us, especially, like, I've been in your shoes, you know, not having a job, I don't know where money's coming from, and I didn't work the whole summer, so I have had no income at all. But I really, really want to encourage you guys, even if it's giving a little. I grew up in church, I was a pastor's kid, and I used to give my 10 cents every week from my allowance. And I know it sounds silly, and you're like, "Oh, 10 cents," but God totally sees the heart behind that. Even if it's like a penny, God sees your heart and he will totally, totally be faithful and give you back like even more than you could ever imagine.
How incredible is that, guys? How incredible is that? Daddy, thank you. I love your blessing, Lord. We're just going to pass around the offering bracket as we're talking as well, okay? So if you guys just pop stuff in. Where do we get to? Renewing mind, heavenly mindset, earthly mindset. He blesses the home of the righteous. That is you guys. You are the righteous. That is who he's talking about. You've been made righteous because of what Christ has done. What else is an inheritance for you guys? What else is an inheritance for you guys when you live with Jesus, when you live with God? Authority over the enemy. That's an epic one. Where's my pen gone? You are given authority over the enemy. Who is the enemy? Satan. You're given authority over the darkness on the world, on the earth. Okay, so in an earthly kingdom, which we're in now, what is there? Because we just said we had authority over something. What do we have authority over? Darkness. In the earthly kingdom where we live now, darkness rules the world. What Jesus has done is he's broken through that, but he wants to use each and every one of you to continue to break this. He's given you authority to do that as well. But that authority is in a place of living in God's kingdom. There's a Bible verse that talks about us being aliens here on earth. The word aliens does not mean that you look like Shrek. It doesn't mean you have little bubbles on your head. What it means is that you do not belong here because you belong with the Father. You belong with your heavenly Father. And so you live out of the perspective. So we're talking about renewing our minds, right? You live out of the perspective of, I live in the kingdom of my heavenly Father, and I am actually an alien here on earth. But because I'm an alien here on earth, I know that eternity is with my Father. And eternity is beautiful because it's with the Father who is everything, who is the fullness, who has the fullness of love, which I can never understand until I get there. But he's given us things like the authority over darkness. This is really cool. God gave me a picture about a month ago, and this picture was of a harvest field. You guys ever seen a field of corn? You guys must have seen a field of corn. You live in Canada. You live beside a farm. Okay, so you know how you see all the corn? Like if you're standing at the side of the field and all you see is corn, and you will see a man on a tractor plowing that food. Yes? You guys have all seen that? Okay, what's he doing? He's harvesting. What's he harvesting for? For food, for money, to survive, to sustain himself? What Jesus showed me was he showed me the perspective on earth of a harvest. And then what he did is he took me over to here and he said, now look at it. So I looked at it again and I saw a harvest. But I didn't just see a harvest of food. What I saw was a harvest of the fruits of his kingdom. God was showing me that if I harvest on earth, but with a stance of I live in the heavenly kingdom, not in the earthly, the harvest that I produce will produce massive fruits for his kingdom. Now, what fruits are those? People. How different was that perspective? How different was the outcome? One outcome was making money to survive. I'm not saying that's selfish because we do need money to survive. But that was the outlook. That is the focus, isn't it? If you're a farmer, you farm to sell it, to make money, to live. In God's kingdom, if you're a farmer and you harvest, you're harvesting to see the fruits of his kingdom come. The fruits of his kingdom coming is seeing people saved, is that right? There's a lot more to it than that. You get to see the outpourings of his glory. You get to see loads of incredible stuff because you're walking out the will of God here on earth. Let's take another one. Let's take a blacksmith. He showed me a blacksmith as well. This is really cool. He put me here and he said, what do you see? And I said, I see a man burning or heating up metal. You know how blacksmiths heat up metal? Why do they heat up the metal? Yeah, they use the fire to heat it up, but they heat it up so that they can make it stronger and they can wield certain things. What do they normally make? Hey? Horseshoes? Tools? Weapons? What I saw was weapons and tools. And I was like, yeah, he's helping to, just make weapons, make some money and sell them on. Doesn't matter about the rest of it. And then what God did is he switched my mindset over again. He said, no, look at it again. So I was like, okay, I'll look at it again. And you know what I saw? I saw exactly the same thing, but God gave me his insight into the situation. And he said this, he is creating and training people with tools that I want to give to people. Tools of gifts. If any of you guys are looking at going to university and things like that, or just engineering mindsets, or mathematical intelligence, or whatever it's going to be, these gifts are all from God. But what he was saying was, the blacksmith was a man working, and then, instead of just selling them on to anyone, he was actually training the people up in these gifts, in these tools, in these weapons, to use for God's kingdom. What would they use them for God's kingdom for? Come on. What would they use them? They'd use them to see the fruits of God's kingdom come, wouldn't they? It's for the fruits of God's kingdom that he was sharing this stuff. So the weapons weren't just being created for war. The weapons were being created maybe for war, but a spiritual war. But the outcome was to see the fruits of God's kingdom come. Same with tools. He wants us to use our tools, our abilities, our gifts, not in an earthly mindset just to make money, but in a heavenly mindset to see people saved. How many of you guys see the big difference between one and the other? Lift up your hands. Most of you? Cool. I'm going to share one more thing. I've been reading through Matthew lately with my cell group. How many of you guys have read Matthew? Wow. This is going well. I'm actually getting hands raised today. Okay, in Matthew, it talks about you are the light in the darkness. Yeah? It also talks about the heart being expressed through your actions and your words. Now, did you guys know that the power of life and darkness are on your tongue? Life and death, sorry. The power of life and death are on your tongue. How many of you guys know that? Or have heard it? Maybe not understand it. That's a whole different question. How many of you have heard that expression before? How many of you know what it means? You have the power of life and death, oh my goodness, my English accent is coming out, on your tongue. Imagine this. Imagine I was speaking right now. What will be coming out of my mouth? Okay. Now take the scripture that I just said. What will be coming out of my mouth? Life. The words that I'm speaking now are life. Does that intrigue any of you guys? How many of you can think of an example of me speaking death? Making fun of somebody. You have a choice in every situation to speak life or death. To go up to someone and insult somebody and start taking the mick and the fun out of them, what do you think that's going to do to them? It's going to degrade them. How horrible is that? Degrading someone. You are speaking death into that person. Do you want to speak death into that person, or do you want to speak life into that person? Because God wants you to speak life into those people. God wants you to love the unloved. God wants you to love your enemies. And even under our breath, I've done this many, many times. I've walked past someone and been like, psh, and carried on walking. How many of you guys have done that as well? I've totally done that. And actually, God's been renewing my mind. He's been renewing my mind to go from an earthly mindset into a heavenly mindset. And instead of speaking death over someone, even if it's under your breath and in your heart, because it's the condition of your heart that we're looking at, God doesn't look at your mind and say, oh, he's brilliant. He looks at your heart and he says, his heart is in a place of loving. His heart is in a place of seeing my kingdom come, my life be spoken, and he stands against the powers of Satan and the powers of sin. So yeah, I've been in that situation where I've looked at someone and been like, you suck. And I've walked off. But what God's been doing is he's been saying to me, Why are you doing that? Do you not realize that what you're doing, even though you're not speaking it, is you're looking at the condition of your heart and you're actually letting darkness into your heart. And what comes out of your mouth is actually what is on your heart. So if we walk around cursing all the time, it's not because in our mind we're like, oh, that's a cool word. It's actually because what we've done is we've let darkness into our hearts, and out of the condition of our hearts is these words that we're speaking. So God transformed my mind. It took time. And now what he does is whenever a situation or something comes against me that I suddenly go, I feel like I'm about to say you suck, but I'm not going to say that, I will start blessing that person. Now, what have I just done? I've changed the position of my mindset, yes, from an earthly to a heavenly, but what I've done is I've counteracted me speaking death into that person by me speaking life. And by me speaking life into that person, I'm building them up, but also I'm renewing my mind. God is renewing my mind as I'm doing that because I'm choosing to stand in his kingdom, not this kingdom. You're getting it. You're getting it. So when Satan comes along and tries to prod you guys and poke you guys and get at you guys and aggravate you guys, how many of you guys have been aggravated before? Parents will aggravate you. I'm going to tell you now, they will. They will wind you up, and sometimes you just want to shout your head off at them. That exact situation is what I'm sharing with you now. You can choose in that situation to actually let Satan keep prodding you, and you can start cursing and swearing and shouting abuse and speaking death over the, and just speaking death into that kind of place and actually letting those attacks come into your heart, where you're letting your heart become stained. Or you can stand firm and say, even though I am aggravated right now, I choose not to speak death out of my mouth. I choose not to let darkness into my heart, and I choose to stand in this place, and I bless you. Even though you are winding me up and I hate the decision that you've made, I choose to bless you as a father or a mother. Let's just use our parents for right now. I choose to bless you as a father. I choose to bless you as a mother. I choose to bless you at your work. I choose to bless you in your everyday life. And what you do is you start blessing and blessing and blessing. And what you do is, instead of Satan being able to prod you to make you do something bad, whenever Satan prods you, you stand firm and you start blessing. What do you think Satan's going to do? He is going to run, because he does not want you guys to bless the people around you. That's the last thing he wants. You're turning his attack into God's triumph, instead of taking his attack and then diminishing into it. And then 3 weeks later, feeling like rubbish and knowing in your heart. How many of you guys have ever had that? You felt in your heart, oh my goodness, I actually feel pretty bad for what I said and what I did. Yeah, I totally have. I've done it loads. It's choosing to live out of his kingdom instead of living the kingdom that we've been brought up with and that we live in now. All right, let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you that your kingdom has come near and is near today. And Lord, today, in our hearts, we choose to live out of your kingdom, Lord, because that's the place that we want to live in. That's the inheritance that we want, Lord, and that's the fruit that we want to see in our lives and also in the lives of our children when our children come and our friends when our friends are around us, Lord. We choose to live out of your kingdom, Father. We choose to be a blessing, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the inheritance and the gifts and the renewing of our minds that you bring, Lord. And Daddy, I just ask today that you continue to renew our minds to understand how we can live out of your kingdom each day. In Jesus' name, amen.